Behold, an army shall come.
A fire burneth before them, and behind them is a flame that burneth. The land before them is as the garden of Eden, and behind them a great wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so they shall run. Join firmly Lazarus, or friends of the world, he takes you on a journey into God's own word. It's building time, building time.
Today we ask you to come and speak upon us, Lord. And let all glory be yours alone in the name of God. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' powerful name, we are praying. Hallelujah. Let's join us together for Jesus. Amen. I'd like to beg us to come to the front. Let's Father. So Christ was referring to what he was talking about, the Father. Hallelujah. And look at what he said in verse 22. Say, ye worship, ye know not what. So you are worshiping, but you do not know the person you are worshiping. So it was something that I was telling to us, that before you worship, we need to understand the person of God. It is not worship that reveals God. It is an encounter with God that bears worship. Listen, it is when you stumble into a realm that a new dimension of worship is produced. At some point, Abraham encountered him, and he was called the El Shaddai. Another point was called Jehovah Jireh. Another point, Yahweh. So encounters reveals his person. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like us to be very, very attentive to things I will share with us today. Amen. Hallelujah. So Christ was talking to the woman that worship is not just about going to church. It's not just about prostrating on the floor. It's not just about casting crowns. It's not just about lifting hands. There is just one person and worship is centered about. There is one fellow who deserves the worship, and you need a clear image of him. Because you cannot worship him correctly if you don't know. Listen, if you don't know, you are only a champion in an environment where you are known. Amen? If you go to another institution, I tell them, "What's with that Pastor Julius?" They will tell you, "Who sent you?" But you go to some fellowship and tell them you are Pastor Julius. Who cares about Pastor Julius? Amen. You're only a champion to those that know you. So the knowledge of God reveals a dimension that we should worship in Him. The knowledge of Him. Listen, the knowledge of God does not come through earth infiltration. The knowledge of God comes through an experience. The knowledge of God does not just come through teaching, as it were. The knowledge of God comes through an experience. There is a knowing. Paul had been taught by Gamaliel. But he talked about the knowing of God. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. So at that particular form of epignosis, he was talking about that realm that will come through an encounter with him. Because there is a knowing that will only be born when you come to see him as he is, not as he is thought. Now there is a difference between God as you teach him and God as you see him. Because when it is God as he is thought, he is only limited to the level of the fellow teaching. But when it is God as you encounter, you see the full package. At some point, Saul has been so active working for God, in a sense. John 16 says, time is coming that some people that will kill you believe that they are doing God they worship. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Saul has been doing God that kind of service, particularly in the church. But the time came that he saw the presence of God, the brightness of his glory. And no one taught him to say, "Lord, Lord, what have Lord!" Say, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Say, "Lord!" So your confession in the place of worship is a product of revelation, not just the lip, not just the knowledge. So you confess what has been revealed. And that's why we talk about salvation. You will encounter God that no one will have to tell you to repeat after me. And the disciples, they ask them, "What shall we do to be saved?" Hallelujah. Amen. Most Christians are worshiping God in assumption. So we are assuming to be worshiping Him. We're actually just fantasizing, you know, who are worshiping God in spirit. No. Amen. maybe showing us the first place where the word worship was mentioned in the Bible. What shall we say? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. A clear revelation of God should best worship. What do we do in church? Because most times we tell ourselves that we're going to church is called the house of worship. Matthew 16. Christ was asking his disciples, what do men call you? Say, some said you are Elijah, some said you are John the Baptist, some said you are one of the prophets. And later Peter spoke up and said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, upon this foundation I will establish my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail over it. Which means the church of God, the place of worship, is established upon the revelation of Him. So you will not worship God beyond the revelation of Him that you have. Listen, your worship, in the place of worship, there is no competition. The only limiting factor is your revelatory knowledge. The only limiting factor, the only limiting thing in the place of worship is the revelation of Him that you have. So if you have not encountered Him at all, you can't worship Him. You can only praise Him. Psalm 100 verse 1 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, O ye land. Verse 4 says, enter into his gates with what? Enter into his gates with what? And enter his courts with what? With praise. Most of us are always in the gate, at the gate, and at the administrative realm. You know, what do you do at the gate? You contend with the enemies at the gate. A prophetic statement was acted over Isaac, he said, your seed shall be the possessor of the gate of the enemy. So what do you do at the gate? You contend. So most of us, when you want to fight your enemy, you first praise God. Because the Bible says you first praise Him. Amen? That's at the gate. Then you come to the court where decisions are made. But some of us are actually in, you know, in the gate you thank God. That's the highest you can do at the gate. Enter into the gate with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. You thank Him for the gate. And the gate of your whole body, your whole package as human, your gate is your flesh. So when you are thanking God, you are limited to your senses, your flesh. That's all. So wake up, those things that makes you excited, that your flesh can rejoice about, things that your sense can see, your eyes, you know, things that benefit you, the day you are filled with food. Father, thank you. You have eaten well today. Next time you are thanking Him for a substance that He can't see. When it comes to praise, that's the soulish realm. And that's the court where decisions are made. That's your soul. What do you do at the soul realm of praises? What do you do there? Father, I'm praising you. Why? Because you are the King of Kings. You are the Ancient of Days. Revelations of Him that someone else got and is trapped in your mind. That's praise. Hallelujah. Now, I was worshiping God some days ago, and God gave me a new name. I want to read some things to you. Hallelujah. Now, I was so excited when God, amen. It may look very, very simple, but I thank God. I've not heard it from anybody before. Hallelujah. Amen. And God said, this is my name. He said, I am the green in green pastures. I am the deliverer of the guilt. I am the freshness of fresh water. Hallelujah. What a great thing for God to say. Glory to Jesus. You need new encounter with Him, new revelation of Him. At that point, it is not your soul. So even when things are going bad, there is no food in the house. Amen. No food for you tonight. No guy. And you have a wife. But you never be that condition.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor said it's good to drink guy when you are tasting. When you are married, maybe just for fun. Amen. And then you see the man dancing and rolling on the floor. There is something he knows that someone else is not seeing. There is a revelation trapped in his spirit that someone is not seeing. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you just bless God when things are fine? What about that song for weather? I want to write this particular song. It's very good at two songs. Oh, sorry. I don't mean at home. Amen. Hallelujah. There are some songs that we sing. I want to write this song. There are some songs we sing. You know, we even sing them in church. When someone dies in church, they will sing those songs. We are actually still praising Him, but you know, they are conditional songs. Hallelujah. So most times some things are bad, you let God know conditionally. Father, I'm praising you. When even when trouble comes my way, I'll praise the Lord. What I say is I let the response for my
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Situations should not determine what you should not. Circumstances should not determine how you worship him. When it comes to the place of worship, only one fellow matters. God. You know why? Because the high priest is to enter into the holies of holies alone. So in the place of worship, you are standing alone, though in the midst of 10,000. And that's where you can dance in church without looking at your dancing steps. And that's where you can sing without looking at the sweetness of your voice. Because in that holies of holies, you are alone. I was in the room this evening, playing songs and dancing. Pastor Joseph was studying. I was dancing. My dance step not missing. But people tell me that, Pastor, you don't know how to dance. I say, you don't know the beat in the spirit. Amen. Amen. You know, when I was slapping, they used to laugh at me. When the drum becomes so, and I dance so. Amen. I don't know if you have seen me dancing before. Amen. When this young man raise up his hands, there's something efficient. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, when the dance gets so strong in my spirit, and I don't know how to communicate it in the flesh, I start jumping. Hallelujah. Amen. Situations will not determine how you dance. Most of us get the church and your clothes matters than God. The packaging of the spirit is worship. That's the packaging of the kingdom. At that point, nothing else matters. David was both a king and a priest. He was dancing in the holies of holies. He forgot that he was in this, on the street. You know, and the wife was saying, you are a shameless king. Shame in the place of worship. You know, most of us don't know how to worship God because of inferiority complex. That's the correct thing. You are not having a nice perspective about yourself, so you think, if you don't worship him the way others do, those, you know, they will look at you that you don't know how to dance. You are feeling inferior. Okay? Shake yourself and dance. Because at that point, only God matters. Why do you think men that don't know how to dance, dance on their way? At that point, only one place matters. The bride. Maybe I'm speaking prophetically. Hallelujah. Amen. At the point, only one person matters. Right. None else. When you dance. Amen. If you feel too big to worship God, it's because you don't know God. You feel too big to give him the worship he deserves is because you don't know him. Christ said, through worship he know not what. You don't have an idea of the person of worship. What if you do? You will not have to go to a mountain to worship. Amen. He said, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in what? In truth. Now, in spirit tells you that you don't need a break from physical activity to worship. In truth tells you that it is the knowledge of the truth that brings you forth into a realm. Hallelujah. So you can be working on your computer and your heart is still leaping for joy. That's the spirit. You turning a bit from your work in class to worship. The Bible says pray without ceasing. You know the reason almost all of us don't understand that place is because the whole definition of it is request without submission. So God is saying worship continuously, connect without breaking. Because worship is not an activity, it is a lifestyle. When you see men that drunk, that's their lifestyle. Even if you bless them, they'll still do. You know, some people can never be happy. Amen. Have you heard sad issues before? Correct ones. Correct sad issues. It's not you who are happy. You know, when you listen, amen, look up. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the person of worship. I plan to, in a little way, just show some little things about God. See, whenever you are coming to appear before His presence, the Bible said that no flesh should glory in His presence. Put everything that makes you, you, put it out. Because there was a dimension Moses could not attain until he had to put that issue. Issue signifies the instrument of riding into his ambition. See, when you want to identify people that are rich in the community, you don't identify them by the clothes they wear. You look at their shoes. Remember, I was working, I was at Nagere. I was on jeans, a shirt, and pam. And I saw a signpost that your shoe indicates the kind of person you are in the community. I felt like pocket to my legs. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I felt like putting my legs in my pocket. Hallelujah. So when Moses was going to come to a dimension, God then put off your shoe. There is a realm you get with God alone in your secret place. God will take off everything. Anything that makes you feel important, drop them when you are coming to worship. And if worship is a continuous activity before God, amen, you are important as a son. Don't stand as a barrier between your spirit and worship. Put it off. Hallelujah. Amen. Christ said that. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers. So when one person can accept that dimension, it is contagious. When you see a hope that they grumble, all what they do is grumbling and complaining, they will never have enough. Have you noticed that there is a kind of state around men that gives? Even when they don't have, there is still that kind of glory around them. Have you noticed that? Yes. When you see givers, even when they don't have, you don't believe. Because there is this, you know that these men are actually rich in the spirit. There's actually just nothing in the pocket for now. When you see worshippers, things may be bad, but there is a covering that covers their shame. The worshippers can be disgraced because they walk in the glory of God. So he says, you worship the Father in spirit. So you have to be spiritually sensitive. And you worship the truth. Say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? One of the first things, the truth set you free from is ignorance. But the reason why you are not worshiping God correctly is because you don't know Him. Say, if you know me, where is my honor? Hallelujah. Amen. When Abraham was going to meet Aaron, and Moses was going to ask him for his name, he said, what should I tell Pharaoh? Who should I tell Pharaoh that he sent me? He said, tell him that I am. You see, I want to talk about the I am personality of God today. Because if you know that personality of God, you know, amen. So there are so many adulterations in the New Testament church. And I'd like all of us to be very, very careful. Before coming for this meeting, I was seeing a post of a young man online. And he said, the prodigal son did not even confess his sins, yet the father accepted him. How much more me? I said, this is a very, very foolish statement. That's a very, very foolish statement in the kingdom. Most of us are coming out of many human head knowledge. And we are trying to limit the personality of God. One of the reasons why you compare your sins to God is because you honor him. I'm telling you again. One of the reasons why you do that is because you know that I'm stepping on the toes of someone that owns the heavens and the earth. He said it was hunger that brought him back to the Father, not repentance. See, most of us, we are getting many kind of dirty revelations about God. So we see there is a different God from the Old Testament and there is a different God from the New Testament. That's nonsense. Say, who should I tell him that tell me? He said, tell him I have. Even said today, he says the same. Christ the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. There is a dimension of him that will not change. His protocols may change, but he remains the same. Listen, the protocol of his presence, the accessibility of him may change. You may not have to offer sacrifices of rams and goats and all those things to come to him again. But if you look at the spiritual work of worship, we now do those things spiritually. And Christ, our high priest, has entered here more than for all. Listen, not for you to stop. The only sacrifice you will not give again is for remissions of sin. When it comes to worship, you worship him. Say, tell him that I am. That I have sent you. So there is this personality of God that is constant. One of the things that makes God God is his faithfulness. The reason why the scientists who come to establish a law that everything that goes up must surely come down is because God has not ceased to be faithful in that principle. The reason why they can come to establish a law to disobey gravity is because there is a dimension of God that is faithful. So you can be in the plane and sit down comfortably without the plane standing on any surface. You know why? Not because of technology, but because the principle that the technology is leaning on is ever sure and it will not be removed. So there is a that everything called technology is established on the faithfulness of God. If God is not faithful, technologies will not stand. So all the scientists, majority of the things they are just discovering now have been written centuries ago in the Bible. So what are they doing? They are establishing laws on his faithfulness. And if you call something a law in science, you are not expecting it to change or bend. And that's because God doesn't change. The protocol may be different, but he is the same. Hallelujah. Because we need to understand this dimension of him. You see, look up. Please look up. I'd like to share some things with us. Beyond, you know, amen. Beyond our head knowledge. See, the same God that some of you say you know, that we still misbehave. Is the same God. Pastor Enoch and Nigel, they are taking away notes. And there are some things people will do, and we say it's a New Testamental approach to God. And these men will say, but we dare not do such. You know why? Because the closer you are, the clearer the object. The closer you are to God, the more streamlined some things are. Now, some things are good for others. When you come close to God, you will know that God is just permitting them. It is not the protocol of his presence. So majority of the things some people are doing, they are just doing because God permits them. But when you come closer as the Son, you discover that, wait a minute, these things are not really the idea of the Father. The world are living on perdition. We live knowing him and we dwell on his principles. So some things that others made, real worshippers that know God will say, no, I cannot. God kills and he makes alive. When Herod stamped on a part of his body, on his glory, God made his angel to touch him, just a touch. And I told you that something happened to Herod. When the angel touched him, he ran into the speed of eternity and came back. In that speed, he died and he was rotting. So by the time he came back, he had to come back to that state. So they made him rotting. So the speed. They just don't touch him. Amen. He experienced eternity without knowing. Do you know that each time you have an encounter and you are seeing God or heavenly beings, for you, the world has been put on hold? Because they operate in frequencies beyond time. So God has stabilized things. Just like Joshua stopped the sun. You are not just stopping it physically, but something is happening spiritually that is stopping the entire movement of the earth. Because worshippers are with the Father. So God is I am. Most of you don't know that part of Him. He is I am. Doesn't it? The approach may be different, but God is I am. God is faithful. He cannot deny itself. Listen, the only thing that limits the omnipotence of God is His word. God can do everything except what His word will not permit Him to do. For example, His word will not permit Him to lie, so He cannot lie. He is a lion. He is also a lamb. You as a son may be enjoying the lamb side of Him. When he was going to describe the devil, he said the devil you have battery moves like a what? Like what? Moves the lamb. Not as a lamb, because there is only one. Amen. And that's the lamb of the tribe of Judah. Because you need to know Him. You need to know Him. It is your great knowledge of Him that has limited your worship. I know that one of the emphasis by the grace of God that God is going to be making us rebuke in this generation is the spirit of rebellion. But when men don't have adequate knowledge of God, they become rebellious. And they start pointing religion after a false image of God. God is I am. It's the same yesterday. It's the same today. It's the same forever. Heaven and earth will live. His word is constant. What God can do, His word can do. So if you want to worship Him, the reference you give to God, you give to His word. Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was what? God. No, we're in a generation that tells you that the Bible is just the written word of God is not important. It is not the study of the written word that helps you to get the revelation of the spoken word. Somebody takes his Bible to the room and put their hands up. Say, it's just pastor in my prayer. Just letter. Say, drop your hand on the Bible. Or even drop your altar. May God deliver you from ignorance. Say a complete amen.
Amen.
Say a complete amen.
Amen.
Now Exodus 24 from verse number 1 to 10. God told Moses, He said, come, gather yourself, come before me, you Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel. Now God said something. He said, let them worship me as Father. Please look up. Amen. You know, when I was studying this place, those of you know I like to teach on this place all the time. When God was calling, if you look at the book of Numbers, chapter number 11, when Moses was complaining, God told him to anoint 70 people, and God asked Moses to put his hand upon them. And by the way, God took of Moses' spirit and shared it into them. Amen. And they prophesied that day ceaselessly. Now God is not speaking. God now said, you come before me. Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Aaron as the priest, the sons that assist him, and the 70 elders of Israel, as you and all the branch parish pastors in Israel, come. Come and worship me. He said, Moses alone should come close. Let the rest worship me afar. Now listen. We all have different knowledge of God. In the spirit realm, we are scaling different heights in the place of worship. Because listen, when you come close, you will learn better. So there's a dimension that only Moses could bear. You know, as funny things are going on in town, is it not funny that majority of those are concocting wrong teachings and wrong theories? When you stay close to them, you know these men don't know God. They just have any knowledge. When you see a man that knows God, there is a print in his life. There is a mark. A mark in the life of a man that knows God that will make him reference him to the point of death. There is a reference. You know, when you see God as he is, there's a form of health that is deposited in your spirit. So at that point, you know, you can't make noise. But you look at the things others are doing and you just wish you can help. See, men that know God will not want to step on his toes. They will practically not want to do anything that hurts him. No, where they get into that, they tell you that you can't hurt God. There is nothing you do that can hurt him. What is God? You can grieve his spirit. Worshippers understand spirit. They understand the protocol of his presence. You know, sin is not just don't kill, don't steal, don't do all those things. There are some things someone who is going to friends of the world will do. Or someone who is going to friends of the world for the first time will do. That doesn't matter to me. May Pastor Lau who make mistakes to do such. Wake him up in the middle of the night. And we need to talk. Because to them, based on the level where they are, far up, it is not a sin. But for him that is closer, it is a sin. So worshippers understand this. So there are some things that other pastors can do. But because you know him, see, when you know God, one of the things that is registered in your knowledge, in your understanding, is the personal, his holiness. See, that when four elders that bow before the throne, the only thing they keep saying is holy, holy are you, Lord. The one who was, who is, and is to come, holy are you. The personality of his holiness is registered in your spirit. So worshippers knows that he is holy. So when the Bible says, be ye holy, as he is holy, they know it is the key into worship. That 24 elders, you know, is just too much. So they have to combine all the quality. And look at the word that combines it. Holiness. So holiness is the sum total of the qualities of God. And worshippers know that. Life of a worshipper. So God told Moses, he said, you are not to come close. You know, if you read Titus 24, the Bible said, when they were gathered, in those days they saw God, and they did eat with him. And God did not kill them. Now look at, amen. Imagine the same father, different children, telling one to come close and the rest to stay apart. The Bible was saying that God did not kill them for seeing him. After that encounter, God told Moses, he said, come up higher. And Moses went up again to see another dimension. The Bible said he was there for 40 days. And what they were seeing on the mountain was fire. So Moses was in the midst of fire for 40 days. And when he came back, his face shone. They thought they had seen it all. But when a man in another dimension comes, they could not even behold his face. Revelation of him. He was him, ye know not what. Most of us came out, we are boasting in the fact that we are worshippers. But if you know him, there are certain things you will not do. The knowledge of him will leave a mark in your life that no man can compare you to this of yours. Even if you tell me that the Bible is not right, you know, so I was still someone saying the disciples were doing something in the New Testament because they don't have full knowledge of God. And I say, these men need to start writing their own Bible. So even if now you are telling me that the Bible is not right as it were, my Bible tells me all things were given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So now we are saying it is not correct. With my encounter with him, they still do. So your encounter with God is a print in your life. A strong print that even if all words fail, this mark remains there. And that's why when God breaks a man, he leaves a mark. There are certain mistakes you have made in your life, and you are telling God to please remove these scars. And you say, I need to teach him so to remind you that God. Yes. There are certain mistakes you have made. Say, God, please, if you remove this scar. God said, no. When I break you, I leave a scar. So you remember that I don't go close to fire again. When you see men that are mature in the knowledge of God, they revive. They know what it means to tremble in his presence. Not panicking. Reverence. So some of you call yourself worshippers. You want to give up in the church, you excuse it. Excuse me. Yeah, I just went in there. The day you have 1,000 there, stretch it. Father Lord. Amen. Who is gratifying you? See, most times when I hold my offering in the church, I like to hold it by two hands. Because you know that with this level of God I know, I don't just drop things for him like I'm dropping it to a dog. So even when you don't have offering, you have dance offering. Amen. You don't have money, you have dance. If you can't dance, you have clap offering. If you can't clap, there is wave offering. Give something in honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Amen. Amen! Stop seeking for head knowledge. Seek for the reality of God. It's not a thing you learn. It's a person to know. Look at the first place where worship was mentioned in the Bible. Wow, I was so amazed when I saw the experience of that scripture. And I also thought about Genesis 22. I want to look at the perspective of God about worship. Genesis 22, I read one verse. You start on verse 1, God told Abraham to take his son whom he loved, his only beloved son that he loved, sacrifice him. Verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, I bide ye here with the ass. As I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Amen. Look up. Abraham was going to sacrifice the only thing he had. He called it worship. Are you getting the gist? He was going to give the only thing he had, called it worship. Then as I had the land, go and worship. Then God tells you to empty your account. Is that? Amen. Only he was the seed to eat the apple. He ate it willingly. He exchanged God for his bride. So he preferred to die with his bride, while Christ preferred to die for his bride. That's worship. When God tells you to release what makes you you. In the place where you've been honored, they welcome you as the pastor in charge of this, pastor in charge of that. Pastor, was that by the Spirit or was that hot? Honey, God bless you, sir. Amen. Say, pastor in charge of this and pastor in charge of that. Say, you know, when they introduce you and call you all the big titles, to go on your knees to worship God becomes deep. May God deliver us from evil. Men who will go far, go on their knees. Men who go far, they understand this. David the king is the king. God gave him the honor of a priest because it is the duty of the priest to bring worship. What they do outside the tabernacle is called service. What you do in the Holy of Holies is called worship. So the majority of what we do in church is service. So you call it church service. It takes the spirit man connected for it to be worship. So David the king would have the right to eat the portion of the priest. You know why? Because spiritually he was a priest. Only a priest gives to God what God wants all the time. So when Goliath came, and Goliath was boasting in the name of his God and cursing the gods of Israel, and the Lord that I serve is a jealous God, and God is searching for a man that is carrying the zeal of God in his heart. No, David could not stand to see a man insult God. A 17-year-old boy could not bear him. He said, who is this infidel? What God, what courage? There is a dimension of confidence that comes to the heart of the man that worships. Situations notwithstanding, you know there is a God ahead. So when men say there is a casting down, you are seeing the end. Christ, seeing the joy and the center ahead of him, he despised the cross. So they were seeing a giant. David was seeing an infidel. He said, I'm going to take off your head today. A 17-year-old boy. Goliath was not less than 40. Let's take the man that worship God consistently that will sit in a box. And God will tell him, evangelize to this fellow and he will not argue. But he has seen that the majority of the things that he could name as progress in his life just came as a result of his simple words like that. So he knows that what God is telling him is very, very important. Worshippers understand the potency of God's word and they revive. You know the power. Abraham said, I will go yonder with the Lord. Whenever God is talking about worship, it has to be a step further. A step beyond the whole testament. For Moses called up fire. For Abraham said, I will go yonder. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1 said, I hear a voice near me saying, come up higher. It is in the higher realm that you can worship. Samson was never a worshiper. Each chapter of the Bible that Samson was mentioned, the Bible said that Samson went down to take the Bible. Any time they mentioned his name, he was regarded to be going down. Samson went down to this valley. He went down to that valley. So worshippers are always going up. You know one thing about worshippers? If you have a ball, you don't need instruction to know where to put a ball. I was standing for a woman one day that was to take my analysis, and she was asking for my name, everything she was writing down. And when it got to sex, she was asking male or female. And I was confused. Mama, is all well? See, the worshippers of God will always remain on top You don't need common sense to, you don't need extra sense to promote them. They are always up. Abraham calls worship giving God your all. Giving him your all. All yourself. Giving yourself to him. Wholeheartedly. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So like Abraham, God is asking for your hand. Send your body. What a covenant of God. Collect your body. Living sacrifice. This is what is holy. This is what is acceptable. Hallelujah. God is much more interested in you than is interested in your money. Amen. See, amen. God is not broke. Please, look up everybody. How much did you drop in church for offering today? Hold on. Just the amount in your mind. So what did you drop? You don't eat. Hey, amen. Did you ever miss people? There was a time in my life I thought it was normal to drop a table below my door. Don't give God a wave of him you don't have. Amen. Don't drop empty every day. But you have raised the hope of yours and I want to have it. Amen. So you pray for ground every day. The wood trays will thank God for us. In the church that they are not more than two or three. She knows what she got. Some pastors will. She will trace you. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at the amount you dropped to God this morning. And calculate the amount they dropped in all the churches in the world. Billions. It's not good. That tells you one thing. He's much more interested in you than your money. Because as we're about that, the day you give a tithe and it's more than 10,000, you expect pastors to start giving you special respect. If you will not be responsible for his praise, stones will. If God lays something, listen, look up. If God lays something in your heart, you do. And you delay by 1 minute, somebody else will do. Papa was talking to us today, he said, you are not the only man that God calls. It's an apostolic function to come to you. So if you mess up, somebody else will take over. But Christ of God is not the only place in this vision. So the day you think you are all in God, somebody else will work. But there is a people. The day you start looking at yourself, you start becoming heavy. Somebody else will pick up. Worshippers are like, they can't be like, but they are looking up to Jesus. God is not good. There's a protocol in his presence. Don't come like, oh God. No, I tell people that do that in church. I don't think much of them. Joy is a serious business in heaven. Amen. Some of us are too spiritual that you can't dance. Ah, say the thing to use drum set. Amen. He loves you with an everlasting love. So when I come to dance before God, I'm seeing me and my father that I love. Father. Ah. Listen, when you have this dimension of thinking, not even your wife or your husband can come in between you and God. Amen. When you marry, this is what is the unification of you. But when you have your husband, what? That's why men who go and marry unbelievers, it's because they don't know God. Yes. Such union cannot glorify him. Huh. in marriage, sex is an act of worship. So when we worship God spiritually, it's a form of intercourse. If people are too, their focus is too streamlined on marriage. It's marriage. Pastor said something within the week. He said, when people are thinking about eternity, you are taking steps with your car. That's what the guy is doing. He said, he and the babe. They are paying by. Women are catching the show. Amen. The most of us want to get engaged, what I want to do. You're not so bad. You want to get engaged faster than you want to do good. Amen. So we get into the relationship without the knowledge of Him. You know, I asked the young man, you want to get engaged, right? He said yes. To do what? To start talking. To do our best. When you want to get married, looking at the next 6-7 years. Amen. Some men are actually so demonic. They can get the ring and put it in her hand. Like she's not of the rings. That's my trademark. Ladies, reject it. Any modern reason, reject it. Don't say yes to a man that does not worship God. Don't say yes to a man that does not have God as his priority. Don't say yes to him. Most of us are actually feeling so inferior. And anyone that makes us feel loved, just God, we have our touch. That's all. Go beyond feelings. The time is coming, feelings will die. You need decision. Be the man who can rely upon. You must always feel. Not always be there. All the health is to be very soon to be found out. You want to see the baby be kind. And you have to help her carry the child. And because he's feeding the child, please. And he's waiting for the stress. You have to cook. Some people that can't cook. All they do is cook. No, those that stay with me, no, I'm always scared of people cooking for me. Very, very scared. Say, if you cook for me, you have to cook. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I say this jokingly. There was a time I used to be quiet. If I come to agree to as a lady friend of the world, I don't know how to cook, I will tell you. I'll look into your eyes. Tell you. Amen. I'll tell you. Some amen. Every time you come to my feet, I just tell you. Come on, yeah, come on, do this. Go and do that. I am not a person looking for fault. God has just commissioned us to raise men. And it must be excellent all around. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. When I went to preach, I will mention it. They drew me this bathroom. It's made chicken like I've never eaten chicken in my life. So you have some food you eat, you want to postpone it in life so you can have a good drink. Amen. Hallelujah. If you increase bet you still propose. I'm telling the truth. Then someone that I said you increase bet you.
They
will propose. Including the brothers. Amen. Some of you need to leave women and follow Jesus. Amen. This is a family gathering. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, some people take relationship much more personal than they take God. Amen. You know, this is what I check. Calculate the number of minutes you spend on phone talking and chatting with your friends, and calculate the number of hours you are investing into tongues. If your fiance's own is swallowing God's own, like Aaron's Moses they swallowed the Egyptian's own, something is wrong. Plain through. Because you need a wisdom from God to relate with her at the long run. I'm very, very serious. I might be joking, but I'm honest. Plain through. Calculate. You know, when you have a relationship with your wife, she becomes your number one. And then one fellow should be the number one before, which is God. So God will be looking at the competition, you know. After talking with her, then you go back to your lover. After talking with him, you go back to him. So there are times you need to even thank God for your relationship. If you are not in a relationship, thank God for your singleness. Thank God for it. Because God is bringing a package that eyes have not seen. Yes. You know, there is a difference between looking and seeing. It's not that eyes have not looked. They've not seen it. Who armed the arm of that ram in between those feet? The mature ram. You know, I was telling Pete Joseph today that God will give you a relationship and you say, who armed the horn of this ram here? In this way, fellowship where they see visions 24/7. And God exempts, God thank you for keeping this ram. Which ram? Thank God for the salvation of your soul. Ah, no, thank you, Jesus. But thank you for the ram. Yeah, amen. How many of you are in a relationship? Let me see answer. Only one person?
No.
Are you denying her or she's not the desire? We're expecting someone else. Pastor Julius?
Yes, sir.
You will listen to this message. Amen. The rest, can we just thank God for your singleness? Come on, exalt yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there are some people that are listening. When a man is not in a relationship, it's actually either of these two things. One, it is either God is disturbing someone special coming on the way. I will come at the right time. God makes everything beautiful at his own time and season. Or God is preserving someone from you. Amen. Some people are too dangerous that God has to preserve people from them. There is a kind of man you should not marry. Are you aware of that? Yes. They are hunters. They will hunt you down, and everything that makes you look good, they will kill it. Some men are like insecticide. You can't stay around them. Sadist by excellence. They will monitor the oil, the vegetable oil, and the pool. They will measure the ground. By themselves, they will be counting rice for you. I know men that will go into the kitchen. They will count meat in the pot of food. When their wife serve food, they will tell the woman, see what I do, you are giving for mom, you are eating. Who is breastfeeding? See, to be a man, it takes more than. You cannot mention those women, because they are not muscular, you are not muscular either. But it takes more than the muscular views of being a man. It takes more than that. Because men, they are so busy. So there are days I feel like getting at us like this. Becoming what God wants you to be is worship. Would you let me rush through this? I'm going to try to do everything around up together here with my time. Because we just want to share the grace for us. How do you know a worshiper? One, they have clear sense of God's reality. They don't make noise. They have clear sense of God's reality. They do not make noise. Number two, they convey His presence everywhere they go. When you see true worshippers, they convey the presence of the King. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Convey His presence. You know, I remember the first time I met Mr. Okwe about 8 years ago. Can we please appreciate this young man? That's why like, you can bully me in the way no one else can. I was telling some few days ago that I don't think I can give anyone opportunity to do this same thing again. Amen. And when I saw him, I just told him. That was my first impression to him that, man, whatever you are doing, continue. You look like an OAU material. You know, some people are not, they may not be scabashing. I'm not saying this to sky clothes. I'm doing all those things. But when you see men that have a selfless lifestyle, selflessness, you come around, that's one thing you must learn. Eh? I'll make people finish your bathroom. Without you, they will finish it in your presence and give you back to them. Until you learn how to serve. Anything. No, amen. See, there are some concrete lessons you need to learn. Because when you learn how to give things to people selflessly, it will not be difficult for you to give to God. When you get married, I've just said, first 2 weeks of your marriage, that dedicate me to me for partner prayer. Someone says it's not possible. It's possible. But with God, nothing that we want. That's a New Testament scripture. It's possible. See, but God authorized marriage. Eh? He knows what is best. If we have you so today, so we can have tomorrow. Genuine worshippers do not offer straight fire. Leviticus 10 verse 1 to 3. Another one of you came to offer straight fire. Straight fire. Straight fire. What majority of us give to God today in church is straight fire, not worship. You worship Him with your lips, when you curse Him with your heart. But the place where the fire burns is in your spirit. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, with which God searches the inward part of the belly. So it is not just about the fruit of your lips, it's about the candle of your spirit. See, when you see worshippers, they are always fresh. They may be carrying burdens. Maybe there are so many load for them to carry, but they are not feeling it. Amen. Amen. They don't. Worshippers by their encounters. Through worship, they stumble into a different encounter. Because if a man is faithful in little, much will be committed to his hand. When you worship God correctly with the dimension of God, you know, he releases another dimension. Ezekiel chapter number 1. You see a dimension of God by Ezekiel was permitted to see. Revelation chapter number 4. Then I hear a voice behind me saying, come up higher. You can study Numbers 11. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Look up, please, everybody. Let me round up for this. Do you know the reason why some people can pray for house without getting tired? There are times you spend in presence of God for 6 hours without feeling it. I know you have experienced this before. Without feeling it. Remember the particular day, people just finished speaking. And the presence of God just came so strongly in the room. And we are there for, we just finished making a very nice dedication. We tested our spirit to speak that morning. Even I was just looking around, fast forward, buddy. And the presence of God just came into the room and I just said, please, we are not eating, I want to worship God. And we are there, worshiping God for over an hour. It just took like 5 minutes. You know why? Because when you spend time with people you love, time flies without people knowing it. When you love God and you stay in His presence, time, you don't count time. You don't calculate time. You are taking time in the place of prayer. Take your love gauge. Before in eternity pass.
Amen.
By the grace of God, before the anniversary, we're going to book this place for a whole night. I'm very excited. A whole night. The instruction is clear. Don't come scared. We're going to do radical things. Guys, where are your suffering? Amen. Come in the night so they won't know you are a pastor. I took my people at a particular point. In the rain. Not yet. About 30 something leaders. In the rain. They have done it here before. Sat down, Bible study under the rain. Keep your Bible in your bag. I kept my notebook. Let's teach from the Spirit now. In the rain. Lie down on the floor, go home, in the grass, doing for over 3 hours. Really? At that point, you don't get the expensiveness of your clothes. There are clothes that I don't wear again because where I was praying, they got damaged. From them, the stains they have on them, you can't wash it off. Just keep them on. Going home and God will tell you, I'm coming around tonight, wait for me. And you as a worshiper will go and dance. Go and dance. Don't just pray as a sadist who just have to keep prayer so you can be upgraded spiritually. And when we are approaching the throne of prayer, we are coming with a joy in our spirit because that joy is our strength. That is the strength that sustains us in the place of prayer. That makes hours to fly like minutes. Amen. It takes love for you to worship correctly. You worship Him in love. Worship is an exclusive reserve for lovers. Only lovers of God can worship Him correctly. Hallelujah! Don't place your belief system on miracles. Let it be founded on the revelation of God you found in the place of worship. That's how to know God better. Listen, you don't ask for anointing. Anointing is the natural overflow of worship. Don't ask for it. Worshippers are anointed. David was anointed. He was a king and a priest. At times things are so bad. No food, no money, nothing. But there's something that I can't finish. The joy of God in my spirit. When I was in Ghana, at a particular point, now I was asking people, if you know what all hunger is. No, there is hunger, and there is a time where you just get hungry. Hunger where your food gets finished, and there is no one around. And you are not talking about days, not about months. Amen. Hunger. I wasn't part of real hunger, death. Real hunger. I started feeding only on one place in the scripture. 2 Corinthians 3. Just one passage of the scripture. Just one. What day? About the fourth day, someone came to knock the door. Now, MOG, God has led in my spirit to give you, I think, 50 CDs. And then if you change back down there to see 50 CDs, 50 CDs was. No joke. Hunger beat me. I collapsed. They took me to the hospital. Hunger. I'm not joking. I fainted. Hunger. I'm not joking. And they took me to the hospital and the lady they promised to give me food. The sister in the fellowship heard that pastor was sick. Those of people who don't value you until you die. So they came to give me food in the hospital. And they were serving me. The first brought spag and chicken and feed. I said, I won't get better. Amen. I was enjoying the injections. I was enjoying it. Let me be very, very factual. Amen. I stayed there for close to 3 weeks. I'm telling you. When the doctor discovered that young man, you're alright. I told the lady that said I need to be under observation.
Oh my God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I stayed around. So brothers are almost emotionless. Thank God for sister. I was thinking. Amen. Hallelujah. Be hunger, I collapsed. And I was speaking on one place of the city. 2 Corinthians 3:16, somebody should read it out.
2 Corinthians 3:16,
never
the next
place
shall talk to the Lord.
2 Corinthians 3:16. Sorry? 3:16 or 3:17 now?
Now the Lord is that spirit, and we are the spirit of the Lord.
Okay, sorry. 4:16. Yes, 4:16. Yes. Say, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Hunger. Hunger. Speaking on this. Amen. Paul said, I've left to our beast and to our mouth. Hallelujah. Almost the rest of our life. All right. Praise God.